First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all the latest on the stories we're doing, get the latest podcasts and everything else from the show. While you're there, I do ask that you join the RSS feed. We'll have the show delivered right to your inbox, so you never have to miss anything. And also join our email newsletter, and you'll get a weekly synopsis or monthly, your option, of all the news and everything else that we've done throughout the week or month. I tell you, for you guys that are new to the show, the numbers to call in are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And as always, if you're in the listening queue, we really appreciate you being there, but make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad so that we know that you want to be heard on air as soon as possible. Welcome to a new week. I tell you, folks, everything continues going on. Courier Journal is stealing stories again, which is no big deal. We'll get into that in a minute. But we can't start the week off without saying hello to our good friend, Mr. Ed Martin. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm a little frustrated, to be honest. The last thing goes out around, I know it's the hottest day of the year thus far in Texas, and everybody's telling me how great the weather was back in Kentucky. And I'm down and down and talking 100-degree index days here. And I'm like, you know, come on.
Well, I hate to tell you.
It's like the hottest there is. And then I come back and I say, oh, we're going to have some of the hottest weather here in Kentucky. I'm like, really? You know, is my luck? That bad where I can't seem to run down some decent weather when I
got to
go somewhere?
Last week we had spring in July.
Yeah,
Yes, we did. Man, it was in the high 70s, very low 80s. It was cool all week. It felt great.
No,
so, yeah.
I know. Everybody telling me about it in the warehouse. I heard all about it.
Well, you know, I'm thankful you led for a week, man. I had a great week. Got a lot done. You know, this time of year gets pretty hot for me right now because of my health situation. So having a nice, cool week like that, I actually got a lot of physical things done. It felt good to be active. I can promise you that. It was it was a great week. But, you know, it, like any other thing, though, you know, the weather goes up, the weather goes down. But one thing that never changes is the garbage we have to put up with in this town we call Louisville, man. I tell you. Last week, once again, you know, the Courier-Journal loves to play follow the leader on different stories we do. You know, last week, I wanted to see if they were going to pick up on this story, and I set the stage for it. I'll be honest with you. I sent a copy of this story to CJ Reporters. I sent a copy of this to every major news media outlet here in Louisville, seeing if anybody was going to cover this story that I had done. And lo and behold... This is the Glenmary story. We did a story about Glenmary last week. It was just the tip of the iceberg. I'm actually going to have the other story out, part two out tomorrow, and this is going to be more detailed. But I set this up on purpose. I wanted to see if these clowns were actually, you know, any better now since they've been cleaning house and everything else than they were before. And quite frankly, I think they're worse. The Courier-Journal put out a story on Saturday in the neighborhood section a couple of days after mine went out, and I notified them that it was out. Within an hour of my story hitting the internet, they were already trying to call residents of Glenmary and start trying to back in my story. So they put it in the Saturday neighborhood section, and I guess they didn't like that much because my story has already went crazy with the thousands of people who read it. So they went ahead and put a new date on it for today and recycled the same story in their online edition. So it's kind of funny. But essentially what's going on at Glenmary, Ed, and this is going to get a lot deeper, as I said, tomorrow for a little teaser for you guys. But Glenmary has a golf course. Glenmary has a private homeowners association, the Glenmary HOA. You know, it's not that this isn't a poor neighborhood, folks. It's not the richest in Louisville, but it's not a poor one either. But they also have a golf course, a Glenmary golf course. And it's privately owned and run by – huh?
Drive past it every day on the way to work.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, and so do a lot of people. And the thing, well, and the thing about it is, Par Golf. That's P-A-R Golf, folks. It's just an LLC that is run. They actually run and control Glenmary. They own the property and all that stuff. And their good friend Jim King at King Southern Bank lent these guys Par Golf gobs of money that they're defaulting on. So Par Golf went to the homeowners last January, because they were in default with King Southern Bank, you know, and claimed they were in these dire financial straits, so they wanted the homeowners association to buy the golf course so that Jim King could get money. Well, it all come down to the fact that the homeowners association is really nuts as far as I'm concerned then. The people that were on the board at that time, a couple of them, Wayne Guthrie and Judy Johnson, Wayne Guthrie and Judy Johnson put together a 47-page document that was full of lies and misconception. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, they put it together complete with pictures of these run-down golf courses at different neighborhoods around the country and failed to tell the people that these pictures that they were using were not of golf courses. In fact, one of the two pictures that they used primarily was a picture of a deserted dance property up in the Catskills of New York. It wasn't a deserted or abandoned golf course in Louisville at all. Long story short, Par Golf wanted the neighbors to buy it for $2.5 million. They refused. They went and had the new board took over in September, October of 2013. But the previous board, Judy Johnson, a real estate broker in Glenmary, who stands to make a bunch of money on the sale of this, of course, representing the homeowners, right? So she's going to get a fat commission. She didn't like it. Wayne Guthrie, the president, decided he didn't like it when the new board took over in September and said, hey, we're not going to follow through with this deal. And the reason that the new board decided not to follow through with this deal was because the property was only appraised for a mere $1.1 million, which is less than half of what Par Golf was trying to force these residents to buy it at. The whole appraisal, everything else that they put out last year, Judy Johnson and Wayne Guthrie and that board, and one of the people that lived there, Allison Amine, who works for Michael Connell and is an active political donor to the Democratic Party, so you take care of Jim King and Michael Connell, who we know are good friends. All of this just stinks to high heaven. So when the new board stopped this deal, now Wayne Guthrie and Judy Johnson filed a lawsuit, presumably because they just lost their bread and butter off of the deal. But what's strange is something that doesn't normally happen is the Glen Mary Homeowners Association with the current board, the duly appointed current board, is fighting the lawsuit that Wayne Guthrie and Judy Johnson and Par Golf have put together trying to force them to buy this property anyway. It violates the Homeowner Association rules for them to do it. It's really complicated. We'll explain a lot of it tomorrow, but the reality is this. Once again, Jim King, through his buddies at Par Golf, are trying to force these residents to use a flawed appraisal. Sound familiar? Remember the Katie King deal? To use a flawed appraisal that was overly inflating the value of the property, trying to force these people to buy this damn thing, and in the absence of them buying it, to get control of it so that he can develop it, which is what he really wants, and make tens of millions of dollars more. You can go to LouisvillePolitics.com, folks, and look up the Glen Mary Golf Course. We actually put this out Wednesday. It's a hell of a lot more detail than what you've seen so far. We're going to get into a lot more later. But it's just really become a fascinating case of, once again, the money-grubbing, you know, Democrats in this town, and Bill Bardenwerper. Bill Bardenwerper is the attorney who actually just took himself claiming conflict of interest and decided he wasn't going to represent either party in this case anymore. But Bill Bardenwerper had no problem representing Par Golf and the Homeowners Association last year, negotiating on behalf of what I would consider to be a poor board at the very best decision last year to buy this property at an overinflated price. So Bill Bardenwerper, we've got you too. Don't worry about that. But, you know, Christopher Purcell is a guy who is good friends with Jim King. Anybody that doesn't think so, I'm sorry. I've got nice photographs of him and Jim King together at Jim King's Christmas party last year. You know, and Christopher Purcell is also a guy, dun-dun-dun, you're going to love this, at Par Golf. He had a fatal DUI case dismissed. You know, he was drunk and killed somebody and had it dismissed. You can check out that story. There's a link on our story at the website. You know, all of this stuff is just too coincidental. So we've got a lot more coming tomorrow. But, Ed, isn't this business as usual?
At least at the beginning, it actually is business as usual. As I say, in business, once in a while we look into buying a company or something. And as we always say, you know, the first thing I tell people is, like, okay, let's just be honest, let's be upfront. What you think it's worth and what I think it's worth are two totally different numbers, you know. But it sounds like, you know, it sounds like some guys, you know, they dreamed up a number for, you know, of all things, a distressed and money-losing golf course. So, you know, how they were able to inflate that value, I'm not sure. But I agree with you on the development side because, like I say, driving by that thing every day, it's a golf course. So it has, you know, X amount of acreage for possible home development if they decide they don't want to chase the little white balls again. But it also, that golf course has a fairly significant stretch of frontage on Bardstown Road. But like I say, I drive by it all the time. Hardly ever see anybody play golf, but I drive by Bardstown Road all the time. And that's a hopping section, you know, that's south of the Snyder. If you're on Bardstown Road, it's the only place you can develop, unless you want to go further out towards Bullitt County. So,
well, yeah.
I'm here to guarantee. I'm hoping, you know, the Homeowners Association, because I think there's probably a few that are, they can see the writing on the wall, and they've got their houses, and they bought their houses on a golf course, and that's what they expect. And I'm sure they're looking at some of the names on this, and if they've done their research or read Loan Politics, they understand that, you know, that frontage and some of that, they could end up, you know, three-story apartments with Section 8s in them, or more likely, a strip mall running the length of that Barstown Road like the half dozen that are already there.
Right.
Want to build that thing out, I don't blame the residents. I can, if they had somebody like Fuzzy Zoller coming in, you'd be saying, oh, well, hell, he's going to spruce this thing up. But if you've given the players in this game, if you're back up to that golf course, there's no telling what your neighbors are going to be soon. And, you know, for some of them, I would bet money on it for if it goes through and King ends up with it or his cronies end up with it. Strip mall is a given. Mixed income apartments, that's a possibility with Barber or whatever. But
oh, yeah.
No, I guarantee you. They bought this land. They bought their houses with the understanding that that's what it is. That probably matter in hell. Thinking, oh, great, you know, we're going to get to see the back end of a strip mall and dumpsters and things like that. Like, no, we're not.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing. And you know, the reality is, I mean, it really, when I started looking through this 47-page, it's 47 pages, folks. This, I call it nothing less than fraud. I mean, as far as what, you know, Wayne Guthrie, Judy Johnson, and Allison Amon, all working in conjunction with Jim King, in my opinion, and you know, everything else to make this happen. I mean, this 47-page report, when you look at this, I mean, it's nothing but fraud. You know, and anybody that does any kind of appraisals whatsoever, legitimate appraisals, and Jim King uses everything in-house, so there's no straw mans here at all, I'll guarantee it. But, you know, when you look at all of this, you know, it really becomes a situation where you have to go to the Catskills of New York. I mean, it's like the Dirty Dancing in the Catskills of New York, the movie Dirty Dancing. That's exactly what they used, was that property being, you know, overgrown and everything else, and tore up and tried to pass it off as a golf course local that went into disrepair, and that's not true. As a matter of fact, Polo Fields...
I can vouch for that. I mean, they may be losing money, but it's growing well. How do you say?
That's the whole point.
Even the traffic berm between, you know, that separates Barstown Road from the golf course is mowed in a beautiful cross pattern. I watch them get it mowed every week. So, yeah, you're right. It is not in disrepair. It is not overgrown. It's not at all.
Exactly, and I understand being in financial arrears and things like that, and I understand all that. Maybe Par Golf does need to get rid of that property. But to try to force the homeowners to buy it at twice the value at best, and to give you an example, when you talk about comparables, anytime you have an appraisal done on any home that you're looking at, you know, anytime you buy or sell a house, you always do appraisals with like property in the area. That gives you a well-quality, I mean, it gives you one of the averages you use to determine the selling point of a house. Well, you know, in our area, we've got two golf courses that are, you know, part of the homeowners association. You look at Polo Fields and Glen Oaks; these are more expensive, home areas. Polo Fields and Glen Oaks are the elite. Them, along with Lake Forest here in Louisville, you know, but Polo Fields and Glen Oaks golf courses were having the same problem. So they were offered up for sale. Nobody would buy them individually. So the owners actually offered them up for sale for a combined price, $1.5 million for both properties combined. That's about $750,000 apiece. So when you look at something like Glenmary, which is not upscale like Polo Fields and Glen Oaks, all right, it's an upper scale, what we're used to out in RP, I assure you, but it's not top of the line like Polo Fields and Glen Oaks, and they couldn't sell them together for $1.5 million, yet Glenmary, which is losing money every year, is all of a sudden supposed to be valued at close to $2.4 million. It just doesn't add it up. So when the new board got involved, that's the first thing they did was say, hey, look, we got to look at this. And what really makes this case interesting is last week, it was announced that 200 residents in Glenmary, now understand, folks, there's about 800 houses, so a full 25% of the residents in Glenmary decided to jump on board and defend, to help the defense against the lawsuit that Wayne Guthrie, Judy Johnson, and Allison Amon coordinated. 25% of the residents actually put their names on the lawsuit as defendants in this lawsuit to force the stop of this. That is an incredible thing right there. It gets more complex than that. We'll get into a little bit of tomorrow at LouisvillePolitics.com, but it's very interesting, Ed, to say the least. This is not going to go away anytime soon. This is going to be a big deal. Bill Bardenwerper, again, we know he's crooked. You can go to edspringston.com and do a search on him on that website. We've got a 10-minute audio of Bill Bardenwerper admitting that he was a crook in a conversation with Chris Thieneman. We've got that conversation on edspringston.com. We did that story, I think, last year or the year before. I don't know. It's been there a while. And then, of course, you look at this that, you know, you've got Doug Weedy, who is part of Brian LLC, which is involved in this whole mess. But Doug Weedy is actually, he's one of the people who are trying to get this thing developed, I guess, through Brian LLC. But miracle of all miracles, he also works as a mortgage holder at King Southern Bank. From what I understand, Weedy actually spent $40,000 for one of the lots over off of Colonel Hancock Drive there. And, you know, is this a conflict of interest? I cannot. I've got, in all fairness here, I have to say, I can't find a transfer of title. But word has it that he paid $40,000, it's all rumor, and that Judy Johnson benefited from it, and that's why they're angry about this. You know, but I can't prove that the title has transferred, so that, you know, again, that could be false information. But it's just one of those little things when you look into the big picture that you have to wonder if it is true. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So who knows, man? It's going to be real interesting. This isn't going to go away, and we're going to have a field day.
Yeah, I'm with the residents on that. I mean, however it works out, good people, well-maintained golf course. Who wants just the back end of a strip mall looking you at your back porch? Not me.
Well, the reality is we don't really need a new strip mall. We got plenty up sitting around. Half of them are vacant in certain areas of the town. So it's a waste of time and money.
There's no vacancy in that area. That's the thing. That's a odd property for people who want to, you know, the NIMBYs, the Jim Kings of the world, who don't want the strip mall in their backyard. But all these players probably have no problem putting the strip mall in somebody else's backyard. But it's a
right.
Odd area. If the head guys end up with it, my money is on a strip mall being plopped right down in there. And that's what I say.
Well, that's it. And we're basically looking at, you know, 140 acres roughly of prime real estate development in Fern Creek. You can't find that hardly at all. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of money that's here for what Jim King and them want to do. And there's no doubt about it. They can lie and say it has nothing to do with that. We all know better. Otherwise, you don't try to squeeze the neighborhood residents like this. So it's a very interesting situation. But I thought it was fantastic. 200 residents. I've never seen it happen before. I can't even find a record of it happening before. That 200 people out of over 800 houses jump on board and say, whoa, we're going to protect this new board because they're right. We were lied to.
And I was going to say, it's one of the things that we've talked about before with, like, Prestonia and Standiford and Minor Lane Heights. That's that's one of the things that you know, and when you look at people like Riverfields, we've always said that on the show. It's a lot of times the government, you know, ha-ha, the Democrats are in it for the small little guy. They seem more than happy to scrape entire neighborhoods off the map. Whether it's, you know, and in high view, they seem more than happy to go in and build Section 8 housing and plop it down in already established neighborhoods. They do a lot, you know, and that's the thing. The Democrat mafia in this city goes around and they say, oh, we're for the working man, we're this, we're that. And then they go around and they do things like that to middle and lower middle income neighborhoods. But then you turn around and what they're finding out right now is they're trying to start this crap with a neighborhood that's, you know, not the elite, not Lake Forest or Hurston Estates or something like that. It's not the elite. I think they ran into a group of neighbors who doesn't like what they're doing, and they do have enough disposable income to get into a fight, you know. When they put their resources together, they've got enough going for them that they can fight back. So, you know, like I say, enjoying that aspect of it.
Well, I tell you, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg with this situation. I really do. I've got information that nobody has, and I'll be releasing that little by little starting tomorrow. You know, Courier-Journal and them, they can keep stealing all they want to, but I think it's time we have a heart-to-heart with their daggone managing editor and get that taken care of. You know, but we look at this, and that's just the tip of the iceberg with what really goes on in this city and this state. You know, we've got the Glenmary people in the middle of that. And then we've got another story. Governor Steve Beshear, as usual, screws up, can't do his job effectively. No Democratic governor has. And what do we have? Well, we start stealing money. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we did a story. Jane Driscoll, the former inept financial director of Louisville, who is now the inept financial director for the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Jane Driscoll was saying that we were going to be about $25 million short in this budget cycle. And right after that, we had a big announcement of over $122 million that we're going to get from a tobacco settlement. Miraculously, since Jack Conway announced he was going to run for governor, he was able to get this settlement after all these years. It's a miracle, folks. It's a miracle. A Democratic attorney general can do that. Well, what brings all this into focus and where I'm going with this is it was announced today that Governor Steve Beshear balanced the budget. Now, remember, we had $122 million added to our budget that wasn't even there, okay? But he decided we were $91 million short on the budget that they passed, so he decided to start raiding state funds. Now, a few years ago, we had a big story and a big snafu about how the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources was giving their money to the governor every year, thanks to John Gassett, and we're not going to rehash that story. But these kind of departments pay for themselves through fees, like the KDFWR. You pay a hunting fee, you pay a fishing fee for your licenses and all that stuff, you know, or any special taxes or anything else that they charge. That actually funds the KDFWR. It doesn't take money from government. So it's not using your tax money. Well, Steve Beshear has once again decided that in order to balance the budget, he came up with $91 million short, and he started raiding all of these people. He took the license fees that are paid by the nurses. The nurses pay a license fee for the nursing association. Insurance agents, they're self-funded. Doctors, pharmacists, they're self-funded. You know, and he took all of their money, started raiding their money to fix this budget shortfall. I want to know why Kentucky Congress has not done anything to stop this from happening. You're paying your license fees that are self-funding something that's supposed to, you know, look after your best interest and help you with, you know, some things such as continuing education, for example. You know, there's all kinds of things there. And yet Steve Beshear thinks that it's okay, and he's got the right to go in there and take that money. Something doesn't add up, does it?
No. And once again, it's, you know, we talk about boiling the frog and the public letting these things happen. You know, you get it put over on them, you know, $20, supposedly $20 a month or $20 a year type things, bit by bit. But this is sort of the same thing, you know. The nurses pay their fees. They don't really see the money. You know, it goes in. It's factored into ongoing education, like you say, insurance, whatever it goes into, sort of the cost of maintaining the nursing boards, whatever. They don't really see it. And you know, the hunters, I guess in many cases, they don't really care as long as the deer are out there, you know, shoot. But so the governor's going in and he's getting these things that don't directly show up on any individual's ballot statement right away. They don't see the effects right away. He's going in, you know, it's an easy snatch. It doesn't drive people bonkers. It doesn't infuriate them, you know, to the point like the residents that are fighting the golf course sale. So they go in and he takes little bites here, little bites there. You won't see it. You know, if any damage is done down the road, it'll be half a dozen years from now before you feel the negative effects. So yeah, it's a cheap, easy, and slimy way to balance the budget.
Well, it's just pathetic because, you know, again, to me, this is nothing more than illegal taxation, because these fees and these license fees and everything else, they're a self-serving purpose. If you're in a nursing association, this money is supposed to maintain the nursing association. You take firefighters, for example. You know, he took the revenue from a surcharge that's on all casualty insurance money that we buy. And anybody that's in business has casualty insurance. A lot of people have it. You know, but when you have casualty insurance, you know, there's a surcharge that's put on there, and that money is dedicated to do nothing more than train firefighters. And he thought it was okay to take that. That's not his money to take. That is money that we, the people, pay for, and we've allowed that to be paid for training our firefighters with continuing ed, and he took it. You know, when we look at all of this adding up into play, I mean, it becomes a very disturbing picture of nothing short of illegal taxation. It reminds me of the LG&E surcharge fee or the franchise fee they're getting ready to go after. You know, how can they justify that? If it's a fee added to our bill for our service, then it's not a tax that the state has any right to. And these are all adding up. They call this thing fund transfers, which is a joke. I mean, it's a joke. You know, if Kentucky general tax revenue doesn't keep up, they just go in and have the right to go into my checkbook and take my money, because that's essentially what they're doing. And I just can't understand why it hasn't been challenged. I really can't. So, you know, these invisible taxes, if you will, and this stuff is destroying us once again. You know, but to give you some idea, I mean, those are some, you know, that are coming out. You've got, you know, police and training and things like that. These guys have to go to training. They get $2,000 to $3,000 a year to attend this training and everything else that they have to do. Now that money's wiped out, you know, but you're going to have to make it up, but they're not going to make them not, they're not going to pay for training. You're going to have to pay for training. So now it's going to come out of the LMPD budget. You know, it's just all these little things. You know, so we've got all this going on. He grabbed $21 million from the state's rainy day fund, which is almost $100 million, I believe it is. So we've got plenty of money in a rainy day fund. And then he took $50 million transferring these illegal taxes, for lack of a better word. I just don't get this. I just don't get this. And nobody's raising hell. Nobody's raising hell.
You know,
what's up with that?
That's what I said. It's the same as the drainage fees, the school taxes, the LG&E variants or easements, you know, right-of-way fees. It's like all these. As I say, in the grand scheme of things, no particular bunch is getting pounded directly to where they, you know, they can't continue to function. So it doesn't show up right away. And the thing is, though, if things don't get better, at some point they get worse, it'll show up. You know, they're just going through, they're robbing the PayPal, hoping Peter doesn't notice. And right now, Peter might notice, but Peter's, you know, they're probably doing it with a note or you know, an IOU of some form. So the balance sheet still works out, but the actual cash is not there. So, you know, and that's the thing, is right now they're hoping that they can replace it before things become critical. Maybe
sure.
They can't. Maybe nothing will come of it. But, you know, it is for a governor who won't be running again, I say he's kicking the can down the road rather than make hard decisions, you know, whether that's raising taxes or cutting spending. Rather than make hard decisions, he's kicking the can down the road, probably done his actuarial and accounting homework, and realizes the probability of actually getting burned on this while he's still in office and having all this just come due, probably not that great. But, you know, hey, if Jack Conway wants to be governor and all this stuff comes home to roost when he's governor, then, you know, that'd be a nice bit of poetic justice right there. It's like, all right, you signed off on this crap too.
All right.
Balance books now.
Well, they'll just do it again, and that's what makes this sad. I mean, last week we had a story where we were talking about, you know, the volunteer fire departments are now having to cut back. They're not going to make a lot of the runs that they used to, emergency runs that they used to, because they can't afford it anymore. They're out of money. You know, well, when you talk about stealing this money, I mean, let's look at the Kentucky Firefighters Association. I mean, they're constantly doing fundraisers. I get calls almost every day from these guys looking for money. You know, but the Kentucky Firefighters Association, the president, Chris Crawford, you know, said the firefighters are frustrated because they took $2 million from the Firefighters Foundation program. You know, that's on the insurance policies. But here's the deal. You know, that money, $3,100 a year, goes to the full-time firefighters, you know, where they undergo their annual training. You can argue about that all day long, that that's just extra money they don't need. I don't care. You can argue about that. But when we're talking about volunteer firefighters – okay, that are sitting here and having to cut back on emergency services because they flat out don't have the money. And here you've got this money that's supposed to be theirs that we are paying for as a fee on insurance policies, not a state tax to the Kentucky government. You know, it sends $8,250 a year to volunteer fire departments, you know, that meet their training requirements. That money goes a long way. So this is just another way. Let's go to the phones. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. As an active member and operations manager of Stop Invisible Taxes, you definitely struck a chord with what we do and what we advocate. Bashir's okay. latest, and you characterize his move as a theft. I actually agree with that. I actually agree that it is a theft. But it's not the first time he's raided these kinds of funds, okay?
No.
I know that that as a member of the real estate community, I have a licensing fee that is paid, plus what's called an errors and omissions insurance to pay, and I have to pay what's called a research and recovery fee. Now, that research and recovery fund is supposed to be for Kentuckians that are harmed by a practitioner of real estate. So if somebody gets skewered over due to negligence or incompetence or a deliberate act, they can file a claim with the Kentucky Real Estate Commission, and if the claim's upheld, it is our money that is used to pay that claim. There's not a dime of state tax money used to pay those claims. Additionally, that money is also used to conduct affordable continuing education seminars around the Commonwealth for all of us in the biz. So, again, that is my money that Bashir stole from an account because he lacks the political courage to go do what's necessary to balance the budget. In our homes, when we don't have enough money coming in, we have to make a couple of choices. One, we have to either find a way to bring more money in, or two, we have to cut the expenses.
Right.
And Bashir has failed to lead in both of those areas.
I see that. That's essentially what Ed Martin just said a minute ago. You know, he has failed to lead in this area. You know, he's not willing to make the tough choices. Ed, jump in here.
Well, you know, not a lot I can follow that up with. I mean, that's what I say. And that's getting back to you, aside from stealing it, aside from not having the courage to do whatever needs to be done, it's, like you say, boiling the frog, where they just turn the water up a little bit, they take it in little places. I had never heard of this insurance fund that they contribute to for their, you know, for their own on occasional malfeasance and stuff. And it's, you know, although administered by the state, not taxpayer funded. I didn't know about it. So, you know, as far as the frog getting boiled, I'm guilty. I've never heard of that before. And that is their tactic. We've seen it in the city of Louisville. We've seen it, you know, beginning to see it and uncover it more every day in the state, but they're going after these little funds hell, you or I don't know anything about it. You know,
well,
I've never heard of that.
It's fascinating, too.
There's plenty of funds out there. There's plenty of taxes that some people have intimate knowledge of, but they're such a minority, and it's administered quietly and efficiently, so nobody knows.
Right.
And that's what they're targeting. They're not going to make the hard decisions. It's easy decisions. You know, there's people up there, and oh, look at that. There's money here, there's money there, and this is something nobody really knows about, so, you know, let's go in and steal it. It's like raiding a safe deposit box. You know, you go in and
right.
By the time that somebody's going to go open the safe deposit box, and by the time it makes a headline, a lot of these thefts, they're going to have 6, 7, 10 years on them, and people are going to say, okay, well, why is this fund, you know, when it finally makes the headlines in the Courageless Journal, they say, why is it busted? Why are they insolvent? Why are they declaring bankruptcy? Why is that a headline now? It's always going to say, oh, well, that happened 9 years ago.
Well, you know, and that's amazing because, you know, you're looking at a lot of this money.
Governor, that's what a lame duck governor and people like that, that's the plan. It's by the time people figure this out, by the time these pyramid schemes, these sort of reverse pyramid schemes collapse, he's going to be long gone. I mean, he's going to be down in Florida with Greg Stumbo hanging out on Greg's boats and stuff.
No, he's not. No, he's not, because he's having his son Andrew installed as the next attorney general. And I do mean installed, folks. You don't win office in this state unless you're installed by a Democrat. So, I mean, he's having his son Andrew installed there,
now,
so he's going to benefit from that.
You know, I'm just going to toss it in there also. Just, you know, one of the guys that we've talked about before that we would actually, even though he's a Democrat, we wouldn't have managed to see him run for governor is Adam Eaglin. You ever think that maybe Adam Eaglin is looking at this the same way we are, going, no.
I am not taking over after this.
There are too many bald tires about to blow on this thing. I am not driving it.
Well, I think Adam Eaglin sold out. I'll be honest with you, in my opinion. I think he sold out. I think he was promised that if you play ball in 8 years, we'll make you the governor. And Adam Eaglin is a young man. He can wait 8 years. It's not going to affect him at all.
I think he played good party politics to be, you know, on the surface, but I do think he's in a position that he could very well know what's going on, and he just needed a nudge. He needed a guaranteed timeline before he was going to hop in and do anything. And, you know, I'm thinking Adam Eaglin probably had a pretty good idea that some of these trusts, some of these funds, you know, that they're keeping this thing floating upright by raiding funds, and he knows that sooner or later that plays out, and things, you know, and these funds and these insurance funds and these tax set-asides eventually go bust, and he's just thinking to himself, when that happens.
Jack, there's a lot more to this story.
He probably doesn't completely grasp it, so he probably still thinks everything's just stucky.
Oh, he probably does. And there's going to be a lot more to this story going forward, too. I mean, you know, we all of a sudden have a budget. Now they're saying the sales tax revenue was down, so that's why we have this big old crisis all of a sudden. And they got to start stealing our money like thieves in the night. I mean, I had a thief steal out of my car today, and I don't have very much respect for thieves, especially elected ones. But you know, one of the things that really interests me here too, though, we talk about this. We talked about the extra money that we're now going to get in the 2014 budget cycle from the tobacco settlement. That money was more than enough to pay for all of this. So, you know, that was enough to do that. So how are they figuring out budgets? I don't know. But I tell you, there's one interesting thing here, too, that I really paid attention to. And it's the Behavioral Health Development and Intellectual Disabilities. They were robbed of $15 million. Now, the reason that is sad to me is we continue talking about the need for better resources to treat, you know, drug addicts or people with mental health issues, things like that. And, you know, we don't have any way to pay for it is what we're always told. And here you've got $15 million, you know, that's designed for behavioral health development and intellectual disabilities. And Steve Beshear says, screw them. You know, how do we justify that? Anybody?
It can't be justified. It can't
be justified. But once again, aside from the occasional sob story that the media may or may not pick up, depending on what their agenda is on a given week, mm-hmm. Most people that have family members suffering from, and the people suffering from, you know, the people that would receive the help from this would probably don't have the income, don't have the disposable income a la River Fields to raise a stink about it in court or via the media. So they're a soft target for Vulture. Big soft target.
Well,
and that's pathetic, but I think that's what you get.
That argument kind of flies in the face of the value system that we have traditionally held dear and near to our hearts here as Americans, and that is standing up for the underprivileged or the underdog, if you will, providing a voice for those who don't have a voice. And this behavior of Steve Beshear undermining what the Kentucky legislature, the elected men and women who actually said, we're going to be that voice, and we're going to set these funds up, and we're going to provide for these people who are the underdogs who may not have a voice or may not be able to raise a voice. And Beshear single-handedly and unilaterally totally destroyed that whole way of doing things. He undermined the legislature by stealing these monies from programs that the legislature properly set up to deal
right.
with the underdogs.
Right. And, you know, and again, I mean, this is disturbing to me when we look at the amount of money. I mean, $91 million overall. But, you know, when you look at $15 million of that coming out of behavioral, you know, disabilities and things like that, that's disturbing. I mean, you know, the USA Today, and I'm really shocked because Gannett owns the USA Today and the Courier-Journal, and a lot of the information I just gave you guys is coming from the Courier-Journal. But the USA Today put out a story today, you know, talking about, you know, how bad it is that mental illness cases are swamping the criminal justice system, and yet $15 million was taken out of mental health, you know, so that the governor didn't have to make any hard decisions. You know, $15 million, it wasn't his to take. And I can't help but wonder as well, because, you know, our good friend David Adams has already won in court once to prove that this Kentucky Health Exchange was illegal. And Steve Beshear just did the same thing again that he did last year, tried to reauthorize it without congressional approval. And, you know, now it's back in the court system again. He's going to lose again. But, you know, since we went to this Kentucky Health Exchange, Kentucky Next, you know, we're talking about a few hundred million dollars that we're having to spend now to take care of the Obamacare mandates as part of that health exchange. You know, what if we didn't have that hanging over our heads? We would actually have a hell of a budget surplus, wouldn't we? And that's the thing. And, you know, I don't get this. And even Gannett is not doing their job. They're not even cross-referencing their own stories. But basically we're looking at, you know, about 64% of those people in jails have mental issues. You know, that's 56% in the state prison inmates and 45% in the federal system. You know, you look at all of this, and, of course, Chicago is one of the biggest ones. But Chicago shouldn't surprise anybody with all the shootings they're having these days. You know, but we look at this big picture, and I just don't get it. Instead, the Courier-Journal puts out a story today trying to tell the whole world that the WWE owners, Vince McMahon and his wife, gave $5,000 to Mitch McConnell's reelection campaign way back in 2012. You know, and this is supposed to be a big story, and they're losing sight of what's really happening at the ground level with each of us. It's disturbing to me. It really is, and I just don't know what else I can say about that. It's just awful. We have, we're going to take a quick break, folks. I am really late on break tonight. Wow, we're just blowing through. I love it when hours go like this. We're going to take a quick break and come back. I do want to change the topic for a second. I want to talk about the Libertarian Party candidate, 42-year-old David Patterson of Mercer County. We talked last week about how Mr. Ed Marshberry had dropped out because he couldn't get any signatures, and we might have a different situation here. So stick around. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, you know, sometimes you get into conversations and you start talking about issues and you just don't want to stop. But unfortunately, the bills still have to be paid, folks. So you got to put that commercial in every now and then. As announced, the Libertarian Party, you know, the chairman in Kentucky is Ken Mollman, who also has his own radio show right here on the MVM Radio Network on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock called Liberty Unbridled. You may want to make a note of that. I was catching a lot of flack because I wasn't giving Ed Marksberry, the independent or the former independent candidate, you know, to run against Allison Grimes and Mitch McConnell. And I was catching flack, but there was a reason for that. Marksberry really wasn't doing anything, and last week I was proven correct in that. He was saying he couldn't get signatures, didn't know how to do all of that. Well, the Libertarian Party announced late Thursday that David Patterson, their candidate, they believe is going to have more than enough signatures to allow us to have a third option on the ballot against Alice in Wonderland Grimes and Mitch McConnell. As most people in Kentucky know, when you're a party candidate, a Democrat or Republican, you're part of that two-party corrupt system in Kentucky and you want to run for office, you have to have two signatures. Now, I didn't misspeak. I mean one, two signatures in most cases.
Whether you want to run for U.S. Senate or dog catcher, two signatures will get it done for you.
Right, exactly. But if you're not part of the two-party corrupt system and you don't have that Republican or Democrat initial behind your name in this state or commonwealth, depending on how you want to refer to us, you know, you're required to obtain 5,000 registered voters' signatures. Now, that's a key word there, registered voters. And the reason those words are important is because if you want to get 5,000 legitimate registered voters, then you can plan on obtaining at least 10,000 signatures because they will go through every signature you have to verify as an independent candidate.
They will
sue you before you ever get the signatures verified. They will have some dumbass sue you to get you off of the ballot and try to run you out, as our good friend Mr. Martin knows from firsthand experience.
Absolutely.
So as we look at it, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and you know, even though I'm registered Republican now, I can tell you one thing about the Libertarians and Mollman, and although I don't know Mr. Patterson, one thing I can tell you about them, depending on who wants to sue them, which I can guarantee you once Mr. Patterson submits his signatures, he's probably going to be challenged legally, probably by the Republicans, because, you know, Libertarians, they're generally perceived as a greater threat to the Republicans. You know, the only advice I could give the Republicans on that account is look, the Libertarians know you're coming. So, as was the case with me, as was the case with Ken Mollman and other Libertarians that have run, we knew you were coming, okay? So we're ready for you. So that's the difference between an ambush and, you know, attacking your opponent and walking into an ambush.
There you go. And
so,
one of the things,
you know, if I had any advice for the Republicans, if Patterson would just leave him be, you know, meet him on the battlefield of issues, because the Libertarians are, they know you're coming. If you sue them, they're just going to chuckle and go, yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. And
we're surprised.
Oh, yeah, and it's interesting because in this case, I mean, one of the things the Libertarians are very good about is verifying the signatures as they get them so that you don't have a high percentage of invalid signatures that they try to tell you you do. And, you know, right now it looks like Patterson has actually got the 5,000 that he needs, and they've been verified or almost completely verified, but they're still going to go ahead and get 3,000 or 4,000 more just to make sure he qualifies. So, you know, we hope to get Patterson on air in the very near future. I would love to give David Patterson some air time. He's doing the necessary work to make sure that he can qualify by these corrupt Kentucky standards. And that's a guy we want to bring to you. So I'm going to reach out to him, and we'll get him on very soon. But, you know, you look at all these different stories going on. You know, one of the things that Patterson, I think, does bring to the table is the fact that he is a current police officer in Harrisburg, Kentucky. So he knows about crime. He knows about those kind of things. He knows about the personal freedom and all the other stuff. And, you know, when we look at this, I can't help but wonder, because I have to look at places like Chicago, Barack Obama's hometown. It is the largest, most liberal. You want a gun control law, you can have it in Chicago. You can't buy a gun in Chicago. They have got all the gun control laws. It's a liberal's dream for gun control laws. But it proves, once again, that the liberals live in a fantasy land if they think they can eliminate guns from law-abiding citizens, because the criminals are still going to have them. This past weekend was yet another disastrous weekend in Chicago. There was 18 people shot in a little more than 12 hours. From Friday till Sunday, there was over 40 people shot, including an 11-year-old girl who was at a sleepover with friends. She was actually killed. You know, we look at this. We look at the 4th of July weekend where they had over 80 people shot. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Every week, this is a natural occurrence. It is a combat zone. So why hasn't our illustrious president got with his good buddy Rahm Emanuel, who has bodyguards with guns, I assure you of that, why has he not said, you know what, we've had enough. Let's send the National Guard in. If we're going to make a combat zone, let's send the National Guard in and take these streets back and make it safe for our citizens. Why are we not taking a proactive approach to Chicago?
That only happens when the rebel rousers interrupt the Democrat National Convention or something, okay? So let's be straight about that. But, I mean, do you really have to ask that question, Ed? I mean, we're essentially being invaded on our southern border. The Middle East and in some, you know, in more even further east, I guess you could call it Eurasia when you're talking about Iraq and Iran. So the whole world in Russia and the Crimea, it's all blowing up, and our president's not doing anything. So do you really have to ask why he hasn't done anything in Chicago? He doesn't do anything.
He's
got a fundraiser to go to. He needs to sit down and talk to kids about eating broccoli instead of Hershey bars, and he's got some golf to play. He can't be bothered with this crap, Ed. And, you know, it's just... Rahm Emanuel is just waiting for the right point in time to not let any crisis ever go to waste. So,
you bring up an excellent example, too.
I don't know. They're embarrassing.
Well, you bring up a great example. I'm sure Paul's going to weigh in here. His mic is still open. But, you know, when you look at this, let's look at the hypocrisy coming from the Obama administration. I mean, you just mentioned Russia and Ukraine and all of that. Obama says, Russia, you cannot, you know, approach, impede, or go past the Ukrainian border. That's wrong for you to do that. He tells Israel they have no right to protect their border. You don't have borders. You're not allowed to have borders. And here in America, he says, come on in. We want to take you and break our tree. This guy has nothing but hypocrisy in his soul. I mean, it's the truth. Paul, I know you want to weigh in on that. Go ahead.
Well, let me back up to the Chicago situation where they've made Chicago essentially a gun-free zone. There was a newspaper article, a published article, just a latter part of last week, or this weekend, whatever, and it features the police chief of the city of Detroit telling the world that he believes that gun crime has been reduced because of some recent shootings by people against the thugs. And apparently the thugs have decided they don't want to get shot. Therefore, the crime has been reduced. Okay, but not in Chicago, where they forbid gun ownership.
I gotta weigh in on that, too. You know, I'll tell you what, that's one thing that me and criminals do have in common. I don't want to get shot either.
Well, you know, it's fascinating in Detroit, Paul. I'm glad you brought that up. And, Ed, I agree with you. I don't want to get shot either, but I have no problem shooting. I can shoot a person faster than I can shoot an animal. That's the truth. I won't go deer hunting, but I'll go thief hunting. I promise you that. That's just the way I am. You know, but it's realistic, though, when you look at this and you look at Detroit. And, Paul, you're absolutely right. Detroit started easing off of charging homeowners for a shooting to protect themselves inside of their home. And what we did see is we saw a large percentage drop in home invasions in Detroit, and the police chief attributed to just that fact. The homeowners have the right to protect their property. We're going to let them do it without having to worry about being charged or being inconvenienced, and lo and behold, the thieves backed off. And that's exactly true. And that's exactly the whole point. Chicago has the toughest gun control laws in the nation, and they have the highest shootings and the highest murder rate. This is all by design, folks. It's all by design. And the reason I mentioned, you know, the hypocrisy on the borders, because Ed brought up Russia. But, Paul, you were telling me something earlier today. We'd actually talked earlier this morning, I guess, man. It's been a busy day. But you were telling me something earlier today that you caught on the news and you thought was very fascinating. Why don't you go ahead?
At about 11:30 this morning, President Obama was chastising the Russian separatists for messing around with the crime scene, which has also been being reported actually as the impact site of the airliner that the separatists shot down. So, you know, it really is a crime scene. So Obama was railing and sounded all, he was getting all, he was pontificating about the moral superiority of us, at least he was implying that. At the same time, he's chastising them using a phrase, something akin to this, and that is, why are they messing with the crime scene if they've got nothing to hide? Well, my God, immediately, the lowest learner and the Internal Revenue Service situation jumps into my mind. Isn't that what that President hypocrite is engaged in? Isn't that the kind of same kind of behavior that he and his cronies are engaged in domestically? And he's got the audacity. Oh, that's right. He wrote a book with the word audacity. He's got the audacity to criticize anyone else for doing the same thing that he and his cronies are doing. Give me a break.
And that's exactly it. So you can look at everything that goes on. You know, they're doing this major cover-up with the IRS. It's no longer a scandal. It's an intentional cover-up, folks. When every person that's involved in that investigation's hard drive crashes, it gets to be a serious concern. When the number two, Angel Sands, at the FEC, admits that she was illegally doing stuff, but her hard drive miraculously got destroyed, so they couldn't charge her with a criminal act, even though she confessed to it, it's a serious thing. And for him to sit here and tell, you know, anybody else, what are you trying to hide? I mean, he has been hiding everything since the time he got elected to office, including his transcripts. You know, and then you talk about the border situation with Ukraine has the right to defend their border, but Israel doesn't have the right to defend theirs. Syria has the right or doesn't have the right to defend their border, depending on which day it is with this administration. And yet here in the United States, we can't defend our borders either. We're not allowed to do that. Well, there's a reason I brought that to play, and yes, I know we're in overdrive, but I'm going to stay here a few more minutes. So if you guys got to go, let me know. It's fine.
Hey,
but
I got to go.
I know. You're on an hour limit.
I'll miss you, Ed. I
got
to jump.
I'll see you next week. Thank you, sir. But, you know, I get all of this. But, you know, and what's really interesting here, and the reason I said, you know, the border, let go into Chicago and bring National Guard troops to take the streets back, is because of Texas Governor Rick Perry. You know, we tease about Rick Perry sometimes.
I'm glad you're on that road. That's a good
sometimes,
story.
It really is. And sometimes he does a great job. Well, Texas Governor Rick Perry announced today that he plans on sending 1,000 National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border to bolster security to prevent criminals from taking advantage of the current so-called crisis there. I won't call this a crisis. It's not a crisis. This is designed and developed to bring down American, period. But what we have noticed is that most of these people, or a hell of a lot of these people that are coming across the border, happen to be under the age of 18. Of course, there's no way for us to verify that. But they're coming across with gang tattoos. They're raping women. We just had a guy last week who had raped and kidnapped a woman who's now in jail, an illegal alien who never showed up for his court date. This is a daily occurrence, but the news doesn't report it. So Governor Rick Perry said he's going to send 1,000 National Guard troops there. What's it going to cost? About $12 million a month for this operation. But I think it's a damn good move. Paul, go ahead.
Well, there's a salient point to this whole Rick Perry story, and I am not a Rick Perry fan because Rick Perry has absolutely done some really, really weird things politically, and he's basically discredited himself, you know, out of the national picture. But that having been said, Perry, if he follows through with his threat to deploy 1,000 National Guard troops, he will be reacting to not so much the illegal immigration, but the fact that law enforcement people down in Texas from all different agencies, both state, local, and federal, were fired upon recently by what they believe to be were Mexican drug cartel members using, and you're ready for this, 50 caliber automatic weapons.
Out of a helicopter. 50 caliber. That's airspace. Yeah.
There is no body protection available for anybody down there at the border against 50 caliber rounds. So if the drug cartel is using 50 caliber machine guns firing into American space, we should have a military response. We should have. The National Guard troops should be let loose upon those bastards.
Right. I agree. And that is the big problem right now. We don't. So, you know, as much as we tease Rick Perry, and, you know, I admit that freely, this is one of those things that I think we have to do. And I want to applaud him for that, because I think that this is a damn good situation to say, okay, you know what, feds, if you're not going to do your job, we're going to do it for you. And Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, who is actually running for governor, but Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, he says, quite frankly, we're going to build the feds. Texas are going to put their boots on the ground, but Washington, we're going to expect Washington to foot the bill. And they should. I mean, what does this say about our society? And this is the one thing that always puzzles me, and it's the one thing we continue coming back to. You just mentioned drug cartels flying a helicopter over U.S. soil, past the border, over on top of our soil, firing 50 caliber machine guns, our border patrol, okay? We have the Arizona mountains we're giving to the drug cartels. We have given them those mountains because we refuse to take those mountains back. Instead, we place these cheap signs on a federal highway that says, hey, don't travel down this road because it's unsafe. It's unsafe if the drug cartels are up in the mountains going to shoot you and kill you. You know, we've allowed this situation, and it gets worse and worse every day. Now we're inviting all of these people from Central America to come in. We're giving them a court number that they'll never show up for. Okay, they're being shipped around the country into all of the cities and being released. You know, we've got plenty of reports about that across the nation. You know, what is it? Why is Barack Obama thinking that he can sit here and tell other people what they can or can't do with their borders and then sit here and destroy our American way of life? And by the way, folks, I want you to think about this. At $12 million a month, the cost just to protect the border of Texas is about $240 million. But guess what? We spend $100 billion a year plus, providing for the illegal immigrants who come into our daggone society and destroy the fabric of America. So you tell me, is that money well spent? I think so. So why is this president not doing his job?
Well, you know, that fascinating. You should even pose that question today, because I had a very interesting conversation with one of our longtime political consultants who is exceptionally well-read and it has an exceptional background, courtesy of the United States military, regarding world history. And that's our good friend Paul Hossie. He and I were talking about this entire Obama charade. And we were jostling with the issue, is this part of a grand design, or is Obama simply incompetent? And we ended up deciding that there's a little bit of both, but he introduced something that kind of threw a curve at me. He said that there is an initial body of writings and publications from well-qualified psychologists that suggest that we're seeing perhaps a president who has mental illness. And I asked him, I said, do we have in our history of presidents in this country, do we have any precedents where a president was suspected of being mentally ill? And the only one that came to my mind is a guy who actually was born in Kentucky. At one time, President Abraham Lincoln was actually thought to be mentally unstable in the run up to the Civil War. Okay, so we do have at least one president that's been suspected of having a mental illness. Now the question is, are these psychologists, these contemporary psychologists today, are they onto something?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's an interesting theory, but I don't buy it. I see Barack Obama as the Manchurian candidate, a modern-day Manchurian candidate. And I tell you, I also see that, that there is a lot more work here, because if we really want to go back, if we want to go through that historical perspective, let's look at the Democratic leadership and the players in the game today and how they came through. I mean, Hillary Clinton was fired from the Watergate Commission because she got caught lying. She got caught lying, and they never brought bar charges. It would have disbarred her long ago. We know she's lied ever since 1970s with Watergate. We know she's lied about that. We know that everything since then has been a lie, including Benghazi and all the other things that she's been involved in.
So when we look at the big picture here,
it's not mental illness. It's an intentional disregard for the United States of America, designed to bring us to our knees, and financially is the way they're going to do it. And this is the start of that. It really is. So I don't see it the same way. But you know, is he mentally ill? No. I think he's probably one of the smartest cookies on the daggone cookie jar. I really do. I think he's one of the smartest cookies in the cookie jar. He knows how to lie through his teeth and be convincing about it. And he's been able to parlay that. Everybody wants to say, oh, well, he's a black president and everybody's picking on him. No, he's also a white president. His mama was white.
No.
You know, so
yeah, that's right.
He's only half black. Well,
I don't look at the
racial dynamic. What I look at is the man himself. And when I look at the man himself, you think about it. Here's a guy who has done nothing more than be a street organizer, who has been involved with socialists and communists, Bill Ayers and the rest of them, from the Weather Underground. Bill Ayers says the only thing he regrets today is that he didn't kill more people. You know, so when we look at all of these things in play, this isn't a guy who's dumb. This guy got the job because he was able to polish his charisma and make it pay off for him with a shitload of Democratic money behind him. And they're going to do the same thing with Hillary Clinton. At least that's my thought.
I'm going to respectfully disagree. I don't think he parlayed anything. If he's the Manchurian candidate, then he was selected, okay? By definition, the Manchurian candidate was selected, okay?
I agree with that.
He's nothing more than an educated puppet who happens to be playing the role that someone else assigned him, okay?
Well, let me rephrase that, because I guess what I'm getting at, when I say he's polished, you know, the Manchurian candidate is selected. I agree with you 100% on that. However, just because you're selected doesn't mean you can deliver. You've got to have something to deliver on. And he has polished his charisma, and he has polished. If you've ever seen Barack Obama talk without a teleprompter, you're going to see a scary individual because he can't put a complete sentence together. All right, he is that unpolished. But you give him a teleprompter and everything else, he has polished that smile and that swagger to be able to fulfill the Manchurian candidate prophecy that he was assigned to do.
And he's reading somebody else's speech too. So again, I don't want to give him the credit that a lot of his liberal buddies want to give him as being highly intelligent. I'm not so sure that this street organizer from Chicago has anything but maybe slightly above average intelligence, because the dumb things that keep happening on his watch, anyone with ordinary common sense would not have allowed those things to happen if they were in charge.
If he had no choice,
they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think, for one thing, I think everything that's happened under his watch has been purely deliberate. He's involved in it. He knows it. For whatever reason, who threatened to kill who, I don't know. I mean, I know this sounds conspiracy theory, and I apologize to my audience because I don't really go into conspiracy theory a lot. But, you know, the reality is, you know, there are things. I mean, Hillary Clinton had the goods on Barack Obama during the presidential primary, and we know that to be true because of the insiders that were running her daggone campaign who put their name on the dotted line and swear to it. But she went into a private meeting that was put together by the Bilderbergers. She came out of that meeting, and she had her tail between her legs and scared to death. So was Chelsea's life questioned or threatened? I don't know. But, you know, all of a sudden,
the goods she had on Obama
disappeared. They wouldn't talk about it anymore.
You should mention that particular reported incident, because remember a few years ago when a little squeaky guy from Texas got everybody all excited with his run for president as an independent. His name is Ross Perot.
Of course.
And he didn't – and I think it was on his second campaign, old Ross baby pulled back from the aggressive posture that he ran in his first campaign, and he reportedly was threatened or had members of his family or people he cared about threatened. He wouldn't go into any details, but he alleged that there were threats to people he cared about. Now, Ed, with Hillary having been reported as experiencing the same type of situation, I think that that lends a lot of credibility to the Ross Perot situation. Okay,
oh, I totally agree.
That the powers
totally
that be will do whatever it takes, to maintain their grip on power, whatever it takes.
There's no doubt about that, and I think we continue to prove that. So I don't think Barack Obama is mentally ill. I don't think he's dumb in any way, shape, or form, no more than I do any of the rest of them. Everything they're doing is purely intentional. Every scandal is purely intentional. All the stuff going on with the illegal immigrants is purely intentional. Sitting out here and being hypocritical on a national stage is purely intentional to raise some havoc between us and Russia and start the Cold War again and start this military-industrial complex buildup again. That's what it is. Take it for what it's worth. We got to wrap up. Paul, I'm going to give you the opportunity for final thoughts tonight, sir. Go ahead.
Well, we're in the early stages of the transformation that Obama and crew warned us about prior to him being elected the first time. I'm not sure, though, that the people who thought the transformation was going to be good for everyone was prepared for this type of transformation, okay? What I would encourage folks to do is to transform the nation by being passive-aggressive in a manner of speaking, okay? The Democrats and the Republicans are in cahoots. One is not a question of whether one party or the other wants to do the right thing. It's a question of whose agenda are they going to run with, because the Republicans have proven that only on occasion do they want to do the right thing, just like the Democrats, only on occasion. They both want to control the government, okay? That's their number one goal. So change your voter registration, folks. Let's send them a message. It's painless. It's easy. Change your voter registration from either a Democrat or a Republican to no party preference, and let them start sweating a little bit, because once they realize that they can't count on party line voting to stay in power, that will actually help us get them under better control. Will it totally solve the problem? Who knows? Probably not, but it will give us more control over these creeps than what we've got now. That's it.
Well, you know, as far as solving problems, I think you're absolutely right in that, because, you know, if we look at problems, we're never going to stop the problem, period. We're never going to stop the problem. What we can do is limit the amount of damage from the problem. No matter where you work, no matter what you do in life, you know, you're always going to have problems that have to be dealt with. The question is, can you bring it down to a reasonable, acceptable level? Do we really accept the levels that we've got right now? I certainly hope not, because if we're willing to make this acceptable, wait 10 years. It's going to get worse. Off topic, I want to switch for a second in my closing, and I tell you why, folks. This morning about 5:45 a.m., car was broken into. My daughter-in-law's car was broken into on my property. Apparently, there were at least three other cars involved from the evidence that I went through and was able to find that they strung out throughout the neighborhood. The police were involved, and yes, we actually have the suspects. Believe it or not, these guys were stupid and left evidence that they don't even know was there yet. But we actually have suspects and everything else. The police are involved in the situation. But the reason I tell you all of that is not something I would normally do, is put my business out there, but the reason I tell you that is simple. I am always, for at least the last 2 years, critical of Louisville Metro Police Department. They put me through a situation in July of 2012, actually almost 2 years ago now, that I thought was unprofessional. It was definitely wrong. They illegally arrested me. We had two rogue cops, Dustin Hinkey and Brandon Wood, that, as far as I'm concerned, shouldn't be on the force. And I won my case handily. They wanted to settle. We did. But the reason I have to mention this, Officer Aubrey, Female Officer Aubrey is the one who came out this morning to work with us on this. And, you know, I've got to tell you, I have not run into a more professional officer in my life. Very courteous officer. And did a hell of a job. As a matter of fact, late this afternoon, right before we went on air, before she even went home for the day, as she should have, she had actually found and was able to recover some personal items of my daughter-in-law and took the time to bring them by here tonight when she didn't have to. That, to me, is what LMPD is supposed to be doing. And I wanted to give a shout-out to Officer Aubrey because I tell you, she deserves applause. A lot of people listen to this show. We have a few hundred thousand that check out the website, tens of thousands that listen to this show. And, you know, I am very critical of officers on LMPD because of my situation with Wood and Hinkey, and other people have had other officer problems. But when an officer goes above and beyond and does a fantastic job, and I know a lot of LMPD listeners to this show, including Chief Conrad, though he won't admit it, but I know he does, you know, Officer Aubrey deserves to be commended for that. And I tell you, it's those kind of things that I hope we're going to be able to bring to our police force going forward. 2 years ago, we didn't have that. Now we have Chief Conrad. Maybe we're finally on track for that. So my thanks to Officer Aubrey. It's female Officer Aubrey. I'm not sure if there's any other Aubreys on the force, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned female, not because I'm sexist, but because Aubrey is a common name here in Louisville. And by the way, Paul, she's not related to John Aubrey, our sheriff. I talked to her about that as well. So, but anyway, we don't do enough giving credit where it's due. So I wanted to make sure we did that tonight. That's it for tonight's show, folks. We are about out of time. Paul, thank you so much for calling in. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. You will have Mr. Dale the Truth Gillespie here with his unique brand of the Tuesday Night Truth Show. I will rejoin you on Wednesday and Thursday night at 7 o'clock right here, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great night, and thanks so much for sticking around in Overdrive, folks. We'll see you.